Welcome back to this episode of the Beef Fam. I'm your host, Trent Mass, joined along with Patrick Spillman. Pat, how are you doing?
Trent, I'm doing great. We just got back from spring break. It was nice, relaxing. I didn't do much. Caught up on some Netflix seasons of my shows that I like to watch. Relaxed, and now getting ready for spring season for us on soccer. Basketball is now finished. Outdoor track starting, and baseball and softball just got back from Florida after their stuff. So we got a lot to talk about. I'm excited. How was your spring break, Trent?
I just sat around a lot, did some homework. I went and I helped my mom and my brother a little bit with my high school's musical, and I saw my girlfriend a couple times too because she was working in that school still. But not too bad. I'm glad to be back. I was just bored at home.
Yeah, definitely didn't feel like this is not having a job back at home this spring break. Like I've had other spring breaks. It was weird. Like I didn't have a job to go to or anything. So definitely weird, but happy to be back, ready to get this semester done and over with. But got an exciting season of softball and baseball. Trent and I are going to try and get some of those athletes in to interview with us. Go and check out our previews on bluffdenwit.com if you haven't had a chance to go and read those for this upcoming season. But we're going to go ahead and start it out with the track and field conference championship indoors. We finally got the results, so we're going to go ahead and start with that. We'll move on to women's basketball and men's basketball as they finished in the conference tournament. Both did not end up making the NCAA tournament. Disappointing, but competed really well, and it was a fun basketball season, especially on the men's side, who went on that super long win streak at the second part of conference. Then we're going to go ahead and jump right into softball, who was down in Florida. They were near Orlando, and then we will go and finish out with baseball, who I believe was in Clearwater.
Fort Myers.
Or they're in Fort Myers. Yep, they're in Fort Myers. So we're going to go ahead and start with track and field. This year, the conference meet was at Rose Holman on Saturday, February 22nd.
On top of the podium stood senior Justin Kaufman and sophomore Brandon James. Kaufman finished his last indoor conference meet with a bang. He took first place in the pole vault, tying his personal record of 4.35 meters. James dominated in the triple jump with a first place finish, throwing up a huge personal record of 13.35 meters. Both men scored 10 points each for the Beavers.
Not to be outdone with senior John Jones in the weight throw. Each week his form has gotten better, and he proved to be a force to be reckoned with. Jones came in second with a big personal record of 16.4 meters. James came in second for the long jump event, and he also jumped a personal record of 6.49 meters. Women also had a nice showing on the podium. Freshman Caitlin Renner brought the heat in the long jump, coming in second with a jump of 5.07 meters. The women's 4x2-meter team, which consisted of all freshmen, Madeline Schieffer, Taja Lewis, Renner, and Nina McGinn, took second place with a time of 1:49. The last second-place finish for the evening was Beavers, went to Lewis in the 200-meter dash. She ran a personal record of 27.07 seconds. All these athletes scored 8 points per event.
The last podium spots went to a pair of individual athletes in two relays. First up was junior Stephanie Fox, who competed in the shot put. She launched the shot put out to 10.88 meters, which gave her a third-place finish. Next up was the men's distance medley relay, which consisted of senior Dakota Frost, freshman Morgan Adams, senior Connor Gullick, and freshman Britton Boyle. This group ran a time of 11 minutes, 3 seconds, good for third place. Another individual third place finisher was McGinn in the 60-meter dash. She qualified with a time of 8.19 seconds, which was a personal record. And finally, the men's 4x2-meter relay, which consisted of senior, junior Christian Parker, sophomore Dalton Tanner, James, and junior Omar Warlick. These men came from behind in the first heat en route to the third place finish with a time of 1:34. These athletes scored 6 points for each third place finish.
Three athletes missed just being on the podium with a fourth place finish. Senior Alexis Cash put her heart and soul into both her races since it was her last indoor conference meet. Cash competed in the 5K, finishing with a time of 18:53, which is just 8 seconds from her school record. She also competed in the 3K and, with an aggressive finish, just missed her school record by less than a second with a time of 10:53. Renner also just missed top three honors in the 60-meter hurdles. Renner finished with a personal record of 9.64 seconds. And last but not least, senior Bailey Barrington worked hard for a fourth-place finish in the mile. Barrington went out tactically, hoping to get a top-three finish. She finished with a time of 5:38. All three women scored 5 points for each event.
Coming in with a fifth-place finish was junior Remy Bauer. Bauer competed in the high jump with a final jump of 1.53 meters. Barrington also ran the 800-meter race. Barrington finished with a time of 2:31. Bauer and Barrington each added 4 points to Bluffton's totals.
One individual and two teams came in seventh for the Beavers. Fox also competed in the weight throw with an impressive throw of 13.73 meters, which was a personal record. Women's distant melody relay came in seventh with a time of 15:07. This relay consisted of freshman Justine Lesanowski and Stacy Cherwa, senior Sienna Hostetler, and sophomore Hope Nixon. With some injuries for the 4x400-meter race, the men had to grind to finish 7th with a time of 3:48. The team consisted of Parker, Tainer, sophomore William Bakeman, and Golick. These 7th place finishers scored 2 points for each event.
Last but not least are the individuals who placed 8th. Lewis competed in the high jump with a leap of 1.43 meters. Warlick had to grind through the finals of 60-meter dash with a prelim time of 7.19, which is a personal record. Schieffer also competed in the 60-meter dash. She qualified for the finals with a personal record of 8.5 seconds to finish in 8th place. All the three individuals scored a point for the team.
There were some notable performances that did not result in any points. Cherwa ran a personal record in the 60-meter dash. Bakeman ran a season best in the 400-meter dash. Schieffer notched a personal record in the 200-meter dash. Freshman Noel Nuttall put up a personal record in the pole vault. Sophomore Aaron Hernandez ran a personal record in the mile. Senior Ari Cox ran a season best in the 3,000-meter race, along with freshman Max Chandler and Boyle, who netted personal best. Chandler also ran a 23-second personal record in the 5,000-meter race. Freshman Henry Wright and Dakota Bunn threw a personal record in the shot, while freshman Wyatt Walker busted out a personal record in the weight throw.
The men's team finished 5th with a score of 51 points behind Rose Holman, Earlham, Hanover, and Manchester. The women's team finished in 4th place with a score of 69 points, trailing Hanover, Rose Holman, and Manchester, despite fielding a team of just 12 women.
This comfort meet was so much fun to watch. Everyone came to compete, and it showed when we had so many athletes on the podium. There were so many more athletes who came in 4th through 8th place than in past seasons. There are a couple athletes who will be competing at last chance meets over the upcoming weekends to qualify for nationals. Entire coaching staff is excited to see what the outdoor season brings. Coach Yakno stated, following the great effort displayed by both the men and the women.
The athletes who are not competing in last chance events will take a couple weeks to recover before the outdoor season kicks off in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, this Thursday, March 19th.
Next Thursday. We'll try and get those results from the track coach on if any of those athletes did make it to nationals. I know talking to us, John Jones, Justin Kaufman, Brandon James all had a very good chance, as well as Caitlin Renner. So exciting times. We also want to congratulate Justin Kaufman, who was named HCHC Field Athlete of the Week after his competition after his performance at the HCHC Championship. So congratulations to Kaufman for his HCHC Field Athlete of the Week. We're going to go ahead and move on to women's basketball. Women's basketball team stifled Anderson University 47-41 in the first round of the Heartland Conference Tournament on Tuesday, February 25th. Not only did the victory avenge a pair of regular season losses to the Ravens, it propelled the Beavers into the semifinals at Transylvania on Saturday. Bluffton improved to 14-12, while Anderson's season came to an end with an 11-15 mark.
A quick Emma Saltzman layup in threes from TJ Mills and Brianna Gillig gave the Beavers an early 8-4 lead over the Ravens. Four straight freebies by Nora Heminger and Gillig pushed the Beavers' lead to 6, 12-6. Abby Parkins closed out the first quarter, scoring with a trifecta to send the Beavers into the second quarter up 17-10.
Hemminger started the second quarter with the shot from the charity stripe before Mills Lane made the score 20-13 in favor of Bluffton. Another deep shot and four free throws by Gillig pushed the Beavers' lead to 8-30-22 with a minute 19 left on the clock. Another charity shot for both Kylie Brock and Saltzman sent the visiting team into the half up by a 32-22 margin.
Three straight layups for the Beavers from Mills and Gillig pushed the spread to 16, 38-22 early in the second half. A 9-2 run for Anderson made it a 9-point game, 40-31, with just under 2 minutes to play in the third quarter. Another Bluffton shot in the paint by Hemminger pushed the lead to 42-31 going into the final quarter of play.
Six straight points for the Ravens to start the fourth quarter saw the home team creeping back into the game, down just five, 42-37. Gillig hit a freebie, but a layup from Anderson had the Ravens back within four, 43-39. Four more free throws from Hemminger, and Mills secured the 47-41 Beaver tournament victory.
Leading the Bluffton offense and defense was Gillig with 21 points and 12 rebounds for her 10th career double-double. The 21 points for Gillig sent her past Paula Slaughter for the most points in a single season. She's currently at 440 points, topping the 432 mark that Slaughter scored back in 1988-1989 season. Mills ended the game with 12 points, followed by Hemminger with 7. Morgan Smith and Saltzman both pulled down 6 rebounds in the victory. It was a career high on the glass for Smith.
Both teams struggled from the field as Bluffton connected on just 13 of 52, 25%, including 4 of 16, 25% from outside the arc. Anderson hit 16 of 53, 30.2% from the field, and 3 of 13, 23.1% from deep. Both teams did better at the charity stripe, with the Beavers netting 17 of 22, 77.3%, and the Ravens 6 of 7, 85.7%. Bluffton pulled down 2 more boards, 39-37, and also cuffed up the ball 4 fewer times, 15-11. Visitors also tallied 8 more steals, 13-5. And like we said, they traveled to Transylvania for the semifinals on Saturday, February 29th, Leap Day. But unfortunately, the Beavers could not come out with the victory as they lost to the number 11 ranked in D3, Transylvania Pioneer, 74-45.
Brianna Gillig layup midway through the first quarter had the Beavers within 6, 12-6, before an 8-2 run for the home team made the score 20-8 with just over a minute to play in the quarter. Sammy Shardo closed the gap to 10 with a pair of free throws, but Ashton Woodard drained a 3 with 9 seconds remaining to make it 23-10 going into the second quarter.
With Bluffton struggling to find the bottom of the net in the second, Transylvania pushed its lead to 42-16 with just over 3 minutes to play in the first half. TJ Mills hit a jumper before Emma Saltzman and Gillig combined to score 7 points late in the half as Bluffton pulled within 44-25 at the break.
Peyton Henry dialed long distance with 5:33 left to play in the third quarter, pulling Bluffton within 13, 51-38 for the first time since the opening quarter. However, the Pioneers responded with a 15-2 jag to close out the third with a commanding 66-40 advantage.
Transy League grew to as many as 32 before the home team pulled the plug on its way to a 74-45 victory that ended Bluffton's season in the conference semifinals.
Gillig led the Beavers with 15 points and 7 rebounds. Mills' record-breaking career came to an end with 13 points. Saltzman and Nora Hemminger both ripped down 6 boards in the season finale.
Great season for the women, and a couple of awards were handed out at the end. Both Mills and Gillig were named to the second team All-Conference, so we'd like to congratulate both those girls on a tremendous season. Mills on a great career. Gillig just finished her sophomore year and already broke the season's single-season record for most points in a season, so congratulations to her. Exciting to be able to watch her the next 2 years. We will move on to the men's side. Due to the Rose-Hulman rule, the entire tournament was hosted at Transylvania University. So on Friday, February 28th, the Beavers traveled down to Lexington, Kentucky, where they fell to Anderson University 77-68. Bluffton finished the season at 15-11 overall, while Anderson improved to 14-12. The Ravens advanced to the HCHC semifinals against tournament host Transylvania at 5 p.m.
Bluffton jumped out to a 13-6 lead when Desmond Brown knocked down one from three-point land with 13:02 left in the first half. The Beavers would extend their lead to 9, 17-8, with another Brown jumper that gave Bluffton its largest lead of the game. But the Ravens would climb back to notch it at 19 apiece when Malik LaFoon hit from distance with 6:52 left on the clock. Thanks to a Jameel Cosby layup with 44 seconds remaining in the first half, Bluffton took a 36-32 lead into the break.
Anderson stormed back, taking an early second-half lead when Maurice Knight would drill a triple to make it 40-38 in favor of the Ravens with just under 17 minutes to play. After trailing for a few minutes, Bluffton came back and took a 48-47 lead when Aaron Rich knocked down a jumper with 11:35 on the scoreboard. It would be back and forth from there, but Anderson opened up its largest lead when Larry Johnson dropped a two to make it 63-57 with 5 minutes to go in the contest. Bluffton would not be able to slow down the Ravens' attack, seeing its season come to an end with a 77-68 loss.
Four Beavers scored in double figures with Cosby leading the way thanks to 18 points on 7 of 13 from the field and 4 of 8 from the charity stripe. He also pulled down 4 rebounds. Brown netted 16 of his own on 7 of 12 from the field, including 2 of 6 from distance. He also dished out a team-high 5 assists in the loss. Renner and Zeddy Pollock both bucketed 10 points in the loss.
Bluffton hit 28 of 65, 43.1% from the field, including 4 of 19, 21.1% from outside the arc. Anderson turned the ball over 17 times, one more than the Beavers. Bluffton pulled down 33 rebounds compared to 24 for the Ravens. We did have some season awards, as Renner was named a first-team All-Heartland Conference, while Jameel Cosby and Isaiah Taylor were named to honorable mention All-Conference. So congratulations to those guys, Renner and Taylor, on their careers. Brown followed up his Defensive Player of the Year. Desmond. It was not Jameel Cosby. My apologies. It was Desmond Brown and Isaiah Taylor. I genuinely believe that Jameel Cosby would have been on there if it weren't for his sickness. Unfortunately, Desmond Brown did not win Defensive Player of the Year. That went to Maurice Knight of Anderson University, and McGee from Rose Holman got MVP of the entire conference. Transylvania's both men and women both won the conference. On that side, the men, Rose Holman, faced them in the championship, and on the women's side, it was Transy versus Hanover, but Transy winning both of those games. We will move on to our spring sports. So basketball, done. Indoor track, done. So we are ready for some softball, as they were down in Claremont, Florida, which is near Orlando, and they kicked off their 2020 season with an 8-0 rout of St. Vincent, before dropping a 9-5 decision to St. Mary's of Minnesota on a sunny but chilly Sunday, March 1st. Beavers stand 1-1 heading into the day two of the spring games.
A Courtney Jasinski double to the wall in center field plated Sydney Bowen for the first run of the season in inning one. The Beavers unloaded with 5 runs on 5 hits in the foreframe. Freshman Bobby Adams singled with 1 out and went when the right fielder was unable to come up with her hit. Pinch runner Sammy Urban crossed the plate. Emily Dyson came around when St. Vincent made a second miscue in the inning, and Taylor Stanky followed with an RBI single to pick up Molly Bollinger. Freshman Lily Tate delivered with a 2-run triple that scored Stanky and Aaron Norman.
Adams made it 7-0 with her sacrifice fly to center in the fifth. With the bases loaded, Stanky's hit to left drove in Megan Hill with the game-ending run as the Beavers opened the season with an 8-0 Mercy Rule victory.
Norman was outstanding in her first collegiate start, tossing a 2-hit shutout in the 5-inning complete game victory. She fanned 5 and did not issue any free passes.
Hill and McCrate finished with 2 hits each, while Stanky and Tate drove in 2 runs apiece.
Bluffton jumped out to a 5-1 lead midway through the third when Brianna Baker and Stanky laced RBI singles. St. Mary's responded with 3 tallies in the bottom of the third and 5 more in the fourth en route to the 9-5 victory in game 2 of the day.
Caitlin Morstadt led the offense with 2 hits, 2 runs scored, while Annie McCrate drew a pair of walks.
Grace Fillinger took the loss after allowing 5 runs, just 1 earned in 2/3 of an inning. She walked 3 and allowed 3 hits. Starter Katie McCord went 3 innings allowing 4 runs on 5 hits with 3 walks. Bollinger tossed 2.1 innings of shutout relief, surrendering just 1 hit with no walks.
The Beavers were back in action on Monday at where they face Chatham and Teal. Bluff University softball team took the diamond, where the Beavers ruled the day with a 5-3 victory in Game 1 and an 11-3 rout of Teal in Game 2. Beavers stand 3-1 heading into Day 3. It marks the first 3-1 start since 2017, when Bluffton opened the season with a 7-3 mark in Florida.
Bluffton got on the board first in inning 1 when Courtney Jasinski doubled to right center, sending Lily Tate across the dish for a 1-0 lead. A Caitlin Morstadt sacrificed fly to left field play to Jasinski to put Bluffton up 2-0 after the half inning. Chatham responded in the top half of the second thanks to 3 hits and errors as the Cougars took a 3-2 lead.
In the bottom half of the inning 2, with 2 runners on base, Tate looped a double down the right field line and plated 2 for a 4-3 lead. A Sydney Bowen single in the bottom of the 6th picked up pinch runner Emily Dyson, making it a 5-3 victory in Game 1.
Molly Bollinger got the nod in the opener, going 2 innings and giving up 3 runs on 4 hits while also fanning 2. Freshman Erin Norman nailed down her second collegiate win 2-0 in as many days as she worked 5 scoreless innings in relief, giving up 5 hits with 4 strikeouts. Bollinger and Norman did not issue any free passes in the win.
Tate, who drove in a pair of runs, Jasinski and Taylor Schimpf all finished with multiple hits in Game 1.
Bluffton opened up a 6-0 lead midway through the 5th when Teal's error on a Bowman grounder allowed the Beavers to put 2 runs across the plate. They put a game on ice an inning later when a fielder's choice, a Sydney Zonkin double, a ground out, and a 2-run Bowen single made it 11-0 heading to bottom of the 6th. Teal rallied with 3 in the bottom half of the 6th, but the Beavers were too much as they wrapped up the second Mercy Rule victory in 2 days with an 11-3 victory.
Grace Fillinger got the victory in Game 2, tossing 6 innings. She allowed just 3 runs, 2 earned on 5 hits, and struck out 1 in the win.
Jasinski, Morstadt, and Zinken all wrapped 2 hits in Game 2, with Zinken scoring 3 times. Bowen and Morstadt drove in 2 runs apiece. Riley Langstaff and Sammy Urban each crossed the dish 2 times against Teal.
They were back in action on Tuesday for another doubleheader as they took on Bridgewater and Muskingum. The Beavers softball team took the field and unfortunately struggled at the plate, falling to Bridgewater 6-2 in Game 1 and 1-0 to Muskingum in Game 2.
Bluffton got on the board first in the top half of the second when Riley Langstaff singled through the right side, sending Caitlin Morstadt and Megan Hill across the dish and for an early 2-0 lead advantage. Unfortunately, that would be the only Bluffton scoring for the day as Bridgewater answered back with 2 runs in the bottom of the frame. The Eagles scored 3 more runs in the 5th en route to the 6-2 victory over the Beavers.
Grace Fillinger got the start for Bluffton in Game 1, going 4 innings. She gave up 4 runs on 5 hits and issued 5 walks in the loss, falling to 1-2 on the season. Molly Bollinger came in on relief and tossed 2 innings, giving up 2 runs on 3 hits with 3 walks.
Langstaff drove in both Bluffton runs as the Beavers were limited to 5 hits in Game 1.
Bluffton could not get things going in Game 2 and finished on the wrong end of a no-hitter from Hannah Duff, who allowed just 1 base runner, a walk to Erin Norman. Norman was again outstanding in the circle, tossing a complete game. The freshman allowed just 1 unearned run on 9 hits while also fanning 4. Her record fell to 2-1 despite sporting a perfect .00 earned run average through 3 games and 17 innings this season. Wednesday was their off day, but they were back in action on Thursday for another doubleheader. So they took on Widener and Houghton. Beavers softball team was back in action after a much-needed day off to regroup and re-energize. In Game 1, the Beavers fell to an undefeated Widener 3-1, but came back with a 5-1 victory over Houghton in Game 2.
The offense struggled in Game 1 as the Beavers put up just 1 run on a Courtney Jasinski single to right that sent Molly Bollinger across the dish for the Beavers in the top half of the fifth inning. Widener scored its runs off a solo homer, an RBI double, and an RBI triple.
Aaron Norman got the start in Game 1 and went 6 innings, allowing 3 runs on 5 hits with 2 strikeouts. Her record fell to 2-2 despite sporting a miscue .91 ERA through 23 innings.
Bluffton would get on the board in the bottom half of the first when a Riley Langstaff single plated Sydney Bowen and Caitlin Mordstadt for a quick 2-0 lead in Game 2. Houghton would get a run back in the top of the second, but it turned out to be the Highlanders' only score of the game.
In the bottom of the third, another Langstaff single picked up Caitlin Mordstadt, making it 3-1. Later in the inning, a Brianna Baker single to left field drove in Langstaff, extending the lead to 4-1. Sydney Zykon hit a sacrifice fly to center, allowing Sydney Bowen to score in the bottom of the fifth. That would be all that was needed to seal a 5-1 victory.
Langstaff had herself a game with 3 hits and 3 RBIs in the win. Bowen went 2-3 while she and Mordstadt both scored twice.
Katie McCord got the win, going 5.1 innings and allowing just 1 run on 6 hits with 1 strikeout. Zykon threw 1 pitch in the 6th, inducing an inning-ending twin killing before shutting it down in the 7th for a save in her first collegiate work on the hill. Bluffton was back in action on Friday, March 6th, when the Beavers played their final 2 games in the Sunshine State as they took on Johnson & Wales and Cornell College. And Bluffton was unfortunately dropped both games, falling to Johnson & Wales 9-0 and Cornell College 12-3.
Bluffton could not get anything going in Game 1 as the Beavers were held to just 3 hits in the lid lifter. Johnson & Wales pulled out to a hot start and put up 4 runs in the first inning. They would tack on 5 more runs over the 5th and 6th inning and route to the 9-0 victory over Bluffton.
Lily Tate, Courtney Jasinski, and Taylor Stanky recorded the 3 hits for Bluffton.
Grace Fillinger got the nod in Game 1, going just 2 innings while giving up 4 runns on 6 hits. Her record fell to 1-3. Molly Bollinger came in and tossed 3 innings, giving up 3 runs on 5 hits with a strikeout. Aaron Norman capped it off with 1 inning of work, allowing 2 runs on 3 hits.
After 2 scoreless frames in Game 2, Cornell would get on the board first, with a 2-0 lead going into the fifth. Bluffton responded in the top of the fifth when Bobby Adams doubled to right center field, tying the game with her 2-run double. Cornell put the game on ice with a 7-run inning to make their lead 9-2 after 5.
In the top half of the sixth, Jasinski played at Emily Dyson with a fielder's choice that made it 9-3. However, Cornell would tack on 3 more in the bottom half of the inning with a bomb which sealed the 12-3 mercy rule loss for the Beavers.
Riley Langstaff had 2 hits for the Beavers, and Adams added a 2-run double.
Katie McCord started on the bump, giving up 7 runs over 4 innings on 5 hits with 2 free passes. Norman and Bollinger combined for 1.2 innings of relief, giving up 5 runs on 4 hits.
Bluffton will be back in action on Saturday, March 14th, when the Beavers travel to Michigan to take on Kalamazoo in an afternoon doubleheader. Game 1 is set for 1 p.m. We will move on to the men as they unfortunately started out 0-2 as they played Alvernia University. The Wolves took the sweep as Bluffton dropped Game 1 9-5 and Game 2 12-4.
The Beavers struck first in the top of the first when Lenny Winiarski hit a 3-run bomb to left field. Alvernia would answer back with 5 runs of their own in the bottom of the first for a 5-3 lead. 3 more runs for the Wolves during the 4th and 5th innings pushed their lead to 5, 8-3.
A Parker Reynolds double pushed Garrett O'Reilly across the dish and made the score 8-4. An RBI double from Adam Duncan and scored Kale Sheborn, but it wouldn't be enough as Alvernia took Game 1 by a 9-5 count.
Starting the contest for Bluffton was Carson Kurnett, who allowed 7 runs on 8 hits. Kurnett struck out 1 batter and issued 2 free passes.
Bluffton tallied 5 runs on 6 hits in the loss. Leading the way was O'Reilly, going 2-3 and crossing a plate both times. Winiarski picked up 3 RBIs for the Beavers.
After a short break, the Beavers were back on the field to battle the Wolves in their second game of the day. Alvernia took a 5-0 lead after four innings. Bluffton would get on the board in the bottom half of the fourth when Jacob Latovsky hit a dinger over the right field fence to make the score 5-1. A two-run single for Jack Towle and played at Winiarski and Reynolds to put the Beavers within two, 5-3.
Three more Alvernia runs in the top of the sixth pushed the lead to 6-9-3. Another RBI base knock for Towle scored Reynolds, but it wasn't enough as the Wolves secured the sweep 12-4.
Taking the mound in game two was Tommy Seamer. He allowed 5 runs on 4 hits. The Beavers tallied 10 hits, led by Towle, who was perfect 3-for-3 with 3 RBIs. Latovsky also picked up an RBI.
Bluffton was back in action on Monday, March 5th, when they faced off against St. John University in a doubleheader. The Beavers moved to 0-4 on Monday, March 2nd.
Bluffton got on the board first in the top of the first when Lenny Winiarski hit a 2-run double that plated Parker Reynolds and Jacob Latovsky for a 2-0 lead. The Beavers struck again in the top of the second when Latovsky singled Reed Raoul and Kale Sherborne crossed the dish to push the lead to 4. It was the end of Bluffton scoring in St. John's, crossed home 9 times for a 9-4 victory in Game 1.
Taking the mound for Game 1 was Brantley Kernett, who allowed 3 runs on 2 hits and 3 innings on the bump. Sophomore Wayne Fry took the loss after surrendering 6 runs on 5 hits and 3 innings of relief. Leading the offense was Latovsky, who went 2-for-4 with 2 RBIs.
The Johnnies took a quick 7-0 lead after 2 innings of Game 2. The Beavers put up 2 runs in the bottom of the second when Elijah Tressler singled and drove home Adam Duncan. Jackson Rogan scored next on a throwing error, which made the score 7-2.
St. John scored 4 more runs to push their lead to 9, 11-2. Bluffton put up the last score of the game when Nathaniel DeWeese scored on a Luke Hansen ground ball to make the final score 11-3 in favor of the Johnnies.
Starting for the Beavers in Game 2 was freshman Jacob Bulkins. Gave up 7 runs on 8 hits and 2 innings on the mound. Josh Slade took over and gave up just 1 run on 4 hits in 4 innings of relief. Also seeing relief action on the mound was Eddie Budinski and Sam Krizik.
Tressler led the Beaver offense in Game 2, going 1-for-2 with an RBI. Hansen picked up an RBI, and Brandon Wilson also tallied a hit in Game 2. And we're back in action on March 3rd when they faced Misericordia in Day 3 of Florida play. And the Beavers were able to sweep Misericordia University on Tuesday, March 3rd. The Beavers swept the Cougars, pick up their first 2 wins of the season. Bluffton improved to 2-4 following the victories.
The Beavers got on the board first when a Parker Reynolds single scored Reed Raoul for an early 1-0 lead. Misericordia would score in the bottom of the second to tie it up 1-1.
In the top of the fifth, Kale Sheborn fired up the offense when he knocked a shot over the left field fence to give the Beavers a 2-1 lead. 3 more Bluffton hits from Reynolds, Jeff Strayer, and Jack Towle would push the Beaver lead to 5-1. Adam Duncan finished off the fifth with another bomb over the left field fence to give Bluffton a 7-1 lead.
The Cougars scored in the fifth and sixth to pull within 4-7-3, but it wasn't enough as Jackson Rogan and Towle both crossed the plate in the top of the seventh to secure the 9-3 Beaver victory.
Garrett O'Reilly picked up his first win of the season on the mound, giving up just 3 runs on 7 hits. The junior pitched 6 innings with no walks and 2 strikeouts. Taking over in the seventh was Sam Krizik, who allowed no runs on 1 hit in his 1 inning of relief.
Leading the Beaver offense was Duncan, who went 2-for-3 for 3 RBIs. Reynolds also got it done at the plate, going 3-for-4 with 2 RBIs. Bluffton totaled 9 runs on 13 hits in the victory.
After a quick break, the men were back in action for Game 2. Bluffton scored first in the top of the first when a Strayer single plated Jacob Latovsky and Rule for a 2-0 lead. In the bottom of the third, the Beavers saw Lenny Winiarski scurry home on a Duncan RBI single to push their lead to 3-0. 3-0, Brandon Wilson plated 2 more runs in the bottom of the fifth on a 2-run single to increase the Bluffton spread to 5-0.
The Cougars would pick up the only score in the top of the sixth when Austin Miles hit a home run. The Beavers added 2 more runs in the bottom of the sixth to take the sweep 7-1.
Freshman Jaden Jacquez took the mound to start the second game and tossed all seven innings in his first start as a Beaver. Jaquez allowed one run on just two hits and walked one.
Tell took charge, going 3-for-4 with an RBI and a run scored. Litovsky also went 3-for-4 and crossed the plate twice. Wilson picked up two RBIs in the victory.
The men were off on Wednesday before they looked to continue the winning streak on Thursday, March 5th against Augusta. Augustana took a 4-2 decision over Bluffton on Thursday, March 5th. Augustana improved to 2-2 on the season while Bluffton dropped to 2-5.
With Bluffton trailing 2-0 in the fourth, Adam Duncan singled home Garrett O'Reilly. To cut the deficit in half, senior Parker Reynolds evened the game at 2-2 an inning later when his base knock picked up Jeff Strayer from third.
Unearned runs in the 7th and 8th were the difference as Augusta posted a 4-2 victory on Thursday afternoon.
Spencer Garrison turned in a superb 6 innings for the Beavers in a losing effort. He allowed 3 runs, 2 earned on 8 hits with 3 strikeouts and just 1 walk. Josh Slade and Sam Krizik limited Augustana to just one unearned run over the final 3 innings, giving up just one hit.
O'Reilly had 2 hits for the Beavers, who managed just 6 hits against the Vikings. Bluffton was back in action on Friday, March 6th, when the Beavers battled Teal at noon and Baruch at 6 p.m. The Beavers faced off against Teal and Baruch College on day 6 in Florida. The Beavers picked up 2 wins on the day to move to 4-5 on the season, with 4 victories in their last 5 contests.
Bluffton started off hot in game 1 when a wild pitch scored Jacob Litovsky before Garrett O'Reilly RBI single plated Adam Duncan. Teal would score a run in the bottom of the first before the Beavers sent 5 more runs across the plate for a commanding 7-1 lead.
In the bottom of the fourth, the Tomcats scored 3 runs to pull within 3-7-4. 2 more RBI singles from Parker Reynolds and Litovsky pushed the spread to 10-4. Teal would score 3 more times, but it wouldn't be enough as Bluffton secured an 11-7 victory to begin the day.
Taking the mound in game 1 was sophomore Carson Kurnett. Kurnett allowed 4 runs on 8 hits and walked just 1 in his 4 innings of work. Taking over and tallying the victory was Eddie Budinski, who allowed only 1 run on 3 hits with 5 strikeouts in his 4 outstanding innings of relief. Closing out the game was Bryce Fink with 2 runs on 2 hits.
Powering the offense was Reynolds, who went 3-for-4, crossed the plate twice, and tallied 3 RBIs. O'Reilly went 3-for-5 with 3 RBIs. Elijah Tressler and Litovsky picked up an RBI apiece in the victory.
After a short break and a field change, the Beavers were back in action against Barack College in a night game. Bluffton got on the board first when a dropped fly ball allowed Litovsky to cross the plate. Jack Towle and Jackson Rogan both picked up RBIs in the bottom of the first to give the Beavers a 4-0 lead until Barack tied it up in the top of the third.
And Adam Yeo single scored Rogan in the bottom of the fourth to put the Beavers back on top 5-4 in the bottom of the fifth. Cale Sheborn cracked a double that sent Reed Rule and Towle home for a 7-4 lead. Bearcats plated 2 more runs, but the Bluffton defense was able to hold them off for a 7-6 victory.
Tommy Seamer picked up the win in Game 2, giving up 4 runs on 5 hits and striking out 3 in 6 innings of work. Justin Moore took over in the 7th and allowed 1 run on 1 hit. Picking up the save was Sam Krizik, who struck out 1 and allowed no runs on 1 hit in his 1.1 innings of relief.
Rogan led the offense in Game 2, going 2-for-4 with 2 RBIs. Tao picked up an RBI and went 1-for-3, crossing the plate twice. Sheborn also picked up 2 RBIs in the sweep. The Beavers closed out their Florida trip on Saturday, March 7th, against Rockford. First pitch was at 11 a.m., but unfortunately, Beavers fell to Rockford 4-2, decision to the Regents, slipping to 4-6 on the season despite winning 4 of their final 6 contests in Florida.
Rockford put up 1 run in each of the first 4 innings en route to the 4-0 lead. The Beavers tallied their first hit of the game and got on the board when Luke Hansen cracked a 2-run single that plated Parker Reynolds and Adam Duncan in the home half of the 4th. Bluffton was unable to produce any more runs in the last five innings as they fell to Rockford by a 4-2 final score.
Starting on the mound and battling before taking the loss was senior Brantley Kernut, who allowed four runs, three earned on 10 hits in 6.1 innings. Kernut did not allow a walk, and he struck out four. Taking over was freshman Jaden Jaquez, who allowed just one hit and tallied four strikeouts in 2.2 scoreless innings of relief.
The Beavers' offense was led by Hansen, who went 2 of 3 with two RBIs. Picking up the only other hit for Bluffton was Jeff Strayer, who went 1 for 1 with a pinch hit single in the ninth.
Men will head back north and have a week of practice before they face Albion College in a doubleheader on Saturday, March 14th. First pitch is slated for 1 p.m. Head out to Memorial Field to support your Beavers in their 2020 home opener. I think that is all that we have. Thank you for listening. We've had lots of sports, but it's been a good week of sports. Both softball and baseball didn't come back with winning records, but they competed in all of their games, it seemed like. So exciting for them to get back here. Had some really nice weather, but it's been weather hasn't been too bad. It's like 60 degrees here in Ohio on this Sunday afternoon. So go ahead, enjoy this weather, and hopefully we can watch some men's baseball on Saturday.
That wraps up this episode of the Beaver Dam. We thank you for listening and encourage you to come back and listen to us next Sunday. Check out previous podcasts. Search and subscribe on iTunes or Google Play. The Wit 96.1 podcast at Bluffton University. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at TheBeaverDam961. For more stories and information, check out our website, BlufftonWit.com, and subscribe. This has been Trent Mass, joined along with Patrick Sponent, and we thank you for listening to 96.1 The Wit.
Roll Beef.